So I thought, you know what, I'm gonna do my go-to. I'm gonna get in the, I love stories. I'm a story guy, I relate to stories. And so I was gonna go with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I told my wife, Karen, I said, hey, this is the direction I'm gonna go. And she goes, I mean, yeah, that's one direction. I was like, thank you so much for that support. I was nervous, and now I'm really nervous. And I said, you know what, I'm gonna do it anyway. And those of you who are married here and have been married for a while, I will have been married 24 years in December. That's a bad move, man. You should always listen to your wife, okay? So at 4:30 this morning, I heard her cell phone go off. Somebody had sent a text. I don't know if it was a robo-text or whatever. The election's over. I'm not sure what it was. Yeah. Is the election over? I don't know. And I woke up. And I got the distinct impression that God was saying, yeah, that's one way to go. I was like, great. I'm going to do it anyway. Now, that would have been a really bad move. So I am going to go in a little bit of a different direction this morning. I do like stories, and I was a little nervous getting up here with so little prep time. And Crawford said, Just do something you've done more than 3 weeks ago. They won't remember. He's not giving you guys a lot of credit. And so if you've heard some of my stories, great, that's fine. I hope you enjoy them again. If you don't, that's okay too. We're going to get in the Word of God this morning. And if we spend time in the Word of God this morning, I am 100% confident that He has something for you. I don't think you're here by accident this morning, okay? I don't think you're just here because this is what you do on Sundays. I don't think you're just here because you're good people. I don't think you're just here for any number of reasons. I think you're here because God wanted you here this morning. And I'll tell you straight up, circumstantially speaking, I don't know if that's a word, circumstantially, there have been a lot of things going on to try and hinder this worship service from happening. A lot of sicknesses, a lot of sorrow, a lot of people who were important cogs in this morning service with things coming up and travel plans and this sort of thing. For whatever reason, it feels like the enemy doesn't want us to be here this morning. And so whatever you've had to do schedule-wise or with families or whatever it is to get here, man, I'm glad you're here. And I pray that God blesses you this morning with something that He has just for you. So let me formally introduce myself. I'm Paul Bickford. I'm the student ministries pastor here at Fellowship Bible Church. I've been here for 11 years now, which I think makes me an old-timer here at Fellowship. I have four children. I mentioned my wife, Karen. We will have been married 24 years in December. I've got a 20-year-old son, an 18-year-old son, a 15-year-old daughter, and a 4-year-old daughter. And so I will have children in school for the rest of my life. I did the math. When my 4-year-old Esther graduates, I will be 60 years old. Graduates from high school. I will be probably 68 when she graduates from college, depending on how long she decides to take there. And so when I woke up at 4:30 this morning, I prayed. I said, God, I get it. You're saying there's something else we need to talk about, and so I just need you to let me know what that is. And I got the distinct impression that He wanted us to have a conversation this morning about what He wrote to us in the book of James, chapter 3. A little thing, our words. Now, words can be something that we don't think very much about, and I'm sure you've dealt with people who don't think very much about the words they use. When I was a kid, I was in a little town, Quincy, Massachusetts, just south of Boston, and I went to Montclair Elementary School, and I remember Mr. Conti. He was my gym teacher, first through fifth grade. And I remember being in gym and loving gym. Gym all the way through high school, whether it was team sports or elementary gym, that was my favorite class, my favorite place to be. in school, and I always looked forward to it. But I remember in third or fourth grade, okay, it was back in the 1900s, 1970-something. Styles were different, okay? My hair, this is going to be hard for you guys to believe it, was like an explosion of grapevines, okay? My mom thought it was really cute. I have a picture. My mom has a portrait. I've tried to get rid of it many times, of me in a football jersey with Shirley Temple kind of looking hair, kind of cascading over my football jersey, okay? It's the weirdest picture you've ever seen in your life, okay? And I look back on it, and I think, why did you let me look like that? And she's like, everybody looked like this, okay? And it's a lie. Not everybody looked like that. I remember specifically going to gym and Mr. Conti looking at me and just kind of off the cuff giving me a nickname. And it was Spaghetti Head. I'm about to be a 47-year-old man in December, and I can remember Mr. Conti calling me Spaghetti Head. Okay? I remember shrinking down, and I remember for the rest of the year, every kid in that gym class and then the school feeling like it was okay to call me Spaghetti Head. And I remember the summit I had with my mom. Listen, Mom, I think what we're going to have to do here is take a year off. Okay? We've got to let this blow over. Okay? Montclair Elementary School is ruined for me. We should probably look into moving. All right? And she's like, you know, that conversation that a mom has with you, you're very handsome. Okay? He's just, you know, messing around kind of thing. And that didn't really help a fourth grader to feel good about being called Spaghetti Head. Okay? He used his words a little bit carelessly, and I remember it to this day. I also used to walk home from school about the same time, and my next-door neighbor, their grandfather, lived on the third floor, and he would sit out on in Massachusetts, it's like three family homes. He would sit out on the porch of the third floor, and he would yell at all the kids on the way home from school, and my nickname from old Mr. Hoyt was Polly Bickfado. My name is Paul Bickford. He was very clever, okay, very, very intelligent man, and came up with Polly Bickfado. It means nothing, okay? But it drove that feeling of sensitivity and kind of not measuring up and wanting to hide even deeper into my soul. He meant nothing by it. He probably thought he was just joking around and being friendly. Words are little things, but they're really powerful. Turn with me to the book of James, if you would. Now, I've got to tell you, I work with middle schoolers. I'm the student ministries pastor, and I get to teach middle schoolers every week. And so my internal clock goes off at about 22 minutes, whereas Crawford's goes off at about 45. Okay? So if you get out of here early, let me apologize to you for that. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they're guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. The tongue and our words are small members of who we are, and yet they are one of the most powerful things that we have control or don't have control over. How great a forest fire is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell itself. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, this ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives? A grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. My brothers, this ought not be so. The way we use our words is a huge indicator to the world around us where our heart is. Where is your heart this morning? As a guy, I grew up and my love language was sarcasm. That's how my friends and I related to each other. We would call each other names and, kind of one after the other, we would see if we could push the line. Does anybody relate to this at all as a teenage guy? Push that line to see how far we could go with cutting each other down. And I'll never forget the first time I tried that with one of my children. Oh my gosh. I had to go back and apologize to my son Ben because I said something that I thought was funny, but he looked at me like, "Dad, why did you say that? Do you really think that? Can you relate?" One of the struggles I have is when I get angry or when I get frustrated, when I'm acting out in my flesh, I want to tell you what I think. And sometimes that can sound like cruel truth. Truth without love, by the way. Stay away from it. It can sound like calling names, because for a second, maybe that makes me feel better. Whether it's the person who cuts me off in traffic or someone in my home. And I've had to deal with God with this. And I think this is why he keeps bringing it up with me, is just a reminder, as a teacher, your words mean something. As a person, your words actually have the power of life and death. Did you know that? Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death. So as the body of Christ, as Fellowship Bible Church, as an individual member, you have an amazing gift. We each are given the power to direct someone's life, the very course of their life, towards destruction or success, towards hell or towards God. How do we use our words? It's not just good enough to not use your words poorly. It's not just good enough to try to not be cruel with your words. God has given us a tool that we are called to use to edify the body, to be winsome to unbelievers, and to communicate God's greatest gift to us, our words. So raise your hand if you've ever sent a kid to college. In here. Okay, I'm looking at you. My oldest son went to Kennesaw, so we didn't have to send him to college. Some days we wish we had sent him to college. My 18-year-old decided he was going to go to Barry. And we love our children just like you love our children. And as the summer was kind of winding down and we were getting closer to having to be at Barry for football parent meetings and this sort of thing, I started to get really blue. Can you relate? I started to think about what life was going to be like without Andy, but I also started fantasizing a little bit about what that moment looks like when I drop my son off at school. And I'll tell you what I thought it was going to look like. I thought it was going to look like this. I'm going to drop you off. Karn and I are going to go to the football meeting. We're going to come out of there. We're going to go back to your dorm. We're going to get everything set up. I'm going to shake your hand. You're going to act like that's not good enough. You're going to come in for the big bear hug. Okay? You're going to take a step back, and you're going to say, "Dad, thank you so much. Thanks for the way you raised me. Thanks for preparing me to be successful here. Thanks for helping me get into Barry. Thanks for coaching me in Pee Wee football. Thanks, Dad. I love you." And then I would cry. We would walk away. Mom would give him the mom hug, and we would go home. And so we got to Barry that day, the end of July. We went into the football meeting, and there was already a little kink in the way things were supposed to work. Andy invited his girlfriend, which is fine. We love Peyton. She's a super person, but she's staying home at Kennesaw. And so there was kind of that dynamic going on. And so Karn and I are in the football meeting. Peyton and Andy are outside. He was already feeling homesick. I got a text from Andy, "Dad, I need to talk to you." And I thought, well, that's not exactly how I had it planned, but I'm ready. And so I went out expecting the, "Hey, Dad, there's just a couple things I got to tell you. Thank you." And he said, "Hey, Dad, there's just a couple things I got to tell you. I hate football. And everyone at Barry is weird. So I'm coming home with you." It's like, what? What? Hold on. Is that an option? I was literally dumbfounded. And I said, "Andy, you've made a commitment to these coaches. At the very least, you've got some really hard conversations you've got to go have with the football team. And then I guess you can come home?" He said, "Okay." And I thought, "You're really going to do this?" And he and Peyton walked up that pathway. Well, fortunately, Karn was walking up the pathway from the meeting that had just ended. And apparently, she stopped him, said, "Where are you going? Dad said I could quit football and come home." She said, "That's not going to happen." She said, "We're leaving now. You're staying. Peyton, come with me. We will miss you." And she came back, got in the Suburban, and we drove back to Marietta. And that's how I said goodbye to Andy at Barry. I didn't even know Karn wore her pants that day, but thankfully she did. So a couple weeks goes by, and Andy's struggling. He's struggling to kind of find his place. And every day he's calling us and he's saying, "I miss you, I miss you, I miss you. I'm homesick. I want to be home. I hate it here. Everybody's weird and I don't like football." And the one thing I know about Andy to be true, and he gets it from me, is that if somebody would just stop him and say, "Hey man, how you doing? Can I hang out with you? You belong here." So I called or texted the head coach, told him a little bit about what was going on, and said, "Hey, if it's possible, could you have somebody say something to Andy?" The next call I got from Andy, I said, "Hey man, how are you doing? Ready for the tears?" He said, "I'm doing pretty good. I said, no kidding. He said, yeah. He said, you know what? Practice started today. We started hitting for the first time, and I got Viking of the day, and Coach Konchesky pulled me aside and told me how glad he was that I was part of the team. That was it. That was it. A conversation that lasted literally less than 20 seconds changed the course of my kid's life. Words are small, but they're powerful. When I get a letter from a family thanking me for doing what I do, I can live a couple years on that. But when somebody uses their words to burn me down, or I hear that somebody's talking about me behind my back, it can wreck me. I know that's not where my identity lies. I know that Jesus has me, but it affects me because words are powerful. So as a body, if you hear people being careless with their words, call them out in love. Or at the very least, don't participate. Flip the script. Love with your words. And the last thing is this. How are people going to know the most important thing, the gospel message, the fact that Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross and his blood, made us right with the Father, if we don't tell them? I agree, our lives should speak volumes, but our mouths should as well. I'm part of a cohort with some people from, help me out, Joel, Life. Oh, man. Don't tell them I don't know who they are. It's Sun Life of youth pastors, and the guy who leads it, his name is Doug Holliday. And there's a question he asks us at the end of every meeting. Who are you going to share the gospel with over the next month? Who will you tell the good news to? And the first time he asked that question, I thought, well, I do that every Sunday. Here, where else do I do that? And I said, you know what? Doug, I feel like God's telling me to share it with the college guys who live on the corner. I've never met them. I've never wanted to meet them. Okay? I think they're college guys. They all have Mustangs and their sheets on the window. I'm going to share with them. And I will tell you straight up, it's been about 3 weeks now. And my fear is, I don't know what to say. I know I'm not going to share the gospel with them at their door, but I've got to meet them. And I got the distinct impression that God said, why don't you just say hi? So yeah, that's one way to go. Use your words. Intentionally. Use your words to lift one another up, not to burn one another down. Use your words to set the course of the people's lives in your sphere on a good trajectory. God has given us a gift. In Acts 8:26, we see the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And we know that the eunuch was in a carriage and he was reading Old Testament scripture. And Philip came along and said, do you understand what you're reading? And what did the eunuch say? How can I understand unless somebody explains it to me? Well, guys, that's where we are. God has you where you are with the people you work with, the people you play with, the people you live near on purpose. It's not an accident. I'm going to attempt to be bold and explain to my neighbors who I am, why I'm excited about Jesus, what he's done for me, and help them understand. And fellowship, that's who we are. That's our vision. That's our mission. Disciples who make disciples. How will they become disciples if we don't tell them? Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are a God who communicates with his people. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the people in our lives who share with us. We thank you for the people that you put into our lives early on or whenever it was to help us understand what you've done for us. Help us to remember that we have a choice with our words. Help us not to be flippant or sarcastic or hateful or careless with our words. Help us to use our words as though they are a tool with the power of life and death vested in them by you, God. Lord, bless us as a church as we continue to share the good news with those around us. May we be good news with our words to everyone we come across, God. We pray this in love. In Jesus' name, amen. I do not know how to end the service. Go in peace.